Tesvov Teves, Friday the 28th of December, the Betzalel Shavuskerda, Tfilos Shabbos.
Good morning. I'm sorry to disappoint some of you expecting someone else to speak. I have a shtickle svara why my name isn't up, because it's probably too long to fit on the poster. So it's made for there. As I'm a rabbi in a local school, there's a hot topic always when you go to conventions or when you go to different places. This year alone, I went once. The chief rabbi invited Jewish studies teachers to come to his home, and as well, I went to the Ani Mamin Foundation that they started, launched here. And the topic was always raised. The question always raised is, how do you make tefillah exciting for children in school? And it's a very good question, and it's a difficult one to answer. And I would like to suggest two ideas as to what is important when we talk about tefillah and make it exciting for children, what we need to bear in mind. And I would like to elaborate a bit on tefillah Shabbos, just as for ourselves, to get a beer in tefillah. And then, time permitting, we'll finish off with a Dvar Torah or two on the Seder as well. There was a lady once, this boxing day, she was driving to Brent Cross. She tried to get a parking spot, she was a bit late, and the parking lot was overflowing, it was full, nothing doing. So she comes there, and she drives around for 20 minutes, in vain, no parking spot, nothing doing. So then she eventually raises her head, says, "Almighty, please find me a parking spot." And at that spot, at that point, someone pulls out of a parking spot, she says, "Ah, forget it, I just found one." So, the first thing we need to bear in mind is we need to remember that when we daven, and this is something very important for children to know, is that there's someone listening on the other end. At the other end, it's not always easy. We daven, and we don't get a response back. So we need to bear in mind that there's someone listening. The Meiri brings it beautifully in Yuma, the Chavtes. He says, a person will daven, and he davens, and he feels there's no response, it's not being answered, his tefillah. So he says, "V'chein la'olam yehi adam nizar b'tefillah." A person should always be careful with davening, u'laharich ba b'yoser, and take your time. "V'afilu roye atzmoi," even if he sees himself, she ain't filosei nishmas, it's not been heard. "Al yisya'ish heimeno," he should not give up. "Ki b'roiv hayamim yimtze'eno," time will come, and it will be answered. So we need to firstly understand, firstly, so children need to know, and first thing we as well need to know is that someone is listening to our tefillahs, and we just need to nudge. It's a bit like going to the local kosher shop with your child, and she comes in, "Can I have this, can I have that?" And she nudges and nudges and nudges, and keeps on nudging, until eventually you just sort of, okay, just take something and let's go. That's because she knows that I'm the father, and if she nudges long enough, it will work. So if we have that attitude, if we think in the same way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's our father, and we just need to nudge and nudge and nudge, and eventually Hashem will listen. The only thing is that Hashem will listen, that's definite, but not always will Hashem answer yes. And that's, the child also knows when he goes to the supermarket, very often, more often than not, the child will get a no as an answer from the father. "No, you can't have this right now." HaKadosh Baruch Hu also can say no. So although he listens to our tefillahs, he obviously can say no. There's a famous story 15 years ago or so in Eretz Yisrael, when I was a bocher in yeshiva learning. There was a soldier captured called Nachshon Waxman. And I remember still going with busloads to the Kosel. Tefillah was uplifting, it was moiridic, it was packed, the Kosel. It was great tefillah. And unfortunately, he was killed, Shem Yochum Domoy, and the press wanted to show that tefillah isn't really doing much. So they went to the mother, to speak to the mother, and she says, "Look, all these people davened, and look what happened." And in the end, he died. So she said, "I have no doubt that Hashem listened." But his answer was no. So that's something else we need to bear in mind. That although we daven, very often, we think it's not coming. So first we need to bear in mind the Meiri, that eventually if you keep on nudging, it might still come. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather says no. And the question then is, there's a Gemara that says, "Tfilas tzibur einu chezeres reikom." Tfilah of a tzibur doesn't come empty, it doesn't return empty-handed. So if it doesn't go empty-handed, how can Hashem say no? So I heard from a mashgiach in Kol Torah, Yitzchak Yeruchim Bodyansky. He explains as follows. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tefillahs that we daven. They're not in vain. They're tefillahs that he's going to use. The question is, when is he going to use them? Perhaps for this instant, he's not using them. But for something later on, or for a different time, or for something unknown to you, he will use those tefillahs of yours, and he'll use them for whatever Yeshua you might need, unbeknown to you. So your tefillahs is not empty and in vain, but rather your tefillahs are used at a later time. That's the first thing we need to impress on children in primary schools, that they know that someone is listening on the other end. Another point I would like to make is, there's a story about Kalina Chosid. Now, I haven't been in a Kalina Shtibo, but apparently when they daven, they cry out, it's a loud tefillah, bislaivas, and it's all loud. And this Kalina Chosid was traveling, and he came on a Wednesday, and he had to spend Shabbos in Chortkov. So he came to Chortkov, the Rebbe there, and he says to the Rebbe, listen, I'm awfully sorry, it's Wednesday today, I'll apologize in advance if I'll be shouting and davening. So the Rebbe told him, Chortkov Rebbe told him, the us we don't shout. Right? So he sat in the back of the Shneder Shabbos morning, comes, holds himself back. Eventually he comes to Nishmas, and he gives a shout, Nishmas, and everyone jumps for a second, and he feels all terrible. Right after davening, he goes up to the Rebbe, he says, I'm so sorry, I shouted out. The Rebbe says, no, it's beautiful. Tzaka, the Medrash says, is a form of tefillah. He says, I'm a bit confused. You told me I shouldn't shout, and now you told me it's a nice thing that I shouted. So he told me, I'll explain it to you. When you come to me on Wednesday, I'm going to shout. That's premeditated. That's not coming from your feelings anywhere. That's, I'm going to shout. That's not a tefillah that comes from a hischatzes. That's not a tefillah. That's pre-programmed tefillah. That we don't have in our place. Once you're in tefillah and immersed in tefillah, and it's going well, you're davening, and you feel this urge to say nishmas and shouting out loud, that is a hischatzes in tefillah. Which brings me to the fact that we daven three times a day. It's very difficult for children if they don't know what the pirush hatefillah is. But even for adults, you daven three times a day. In the winter, you finish your shachis, you can daven mincha already. So we daven shachis mincha and straight amar of after that, and you're done. That's not the attitude to have. It's difficult. It's hard. You come three times a day, you stand up, you daven. The pasuk in Tehillim, Chav Zayin, David HaMelech says, Acha sho'alti me'is Hashem, oisa avakei, shivti beveis Hashem. Let me dwell in the house of Hashem, kol yomei chayai. Lachazois benoyam Hashem, to see the pleasant ways of Hashem, ulevaker beicholoi, and to visit in His house. And a question asked, I think that Avudram asked, and others, at the beginning of the pasuk is shivti, let me dwell. Dwell is a permanent fixture in the house of Hashem. And at the end it says, ulevaker beicholoi, and to visit in the house of Hashem. So, which one do you want? There's a choristira here, because on the one hand it's shivti, and on the other hand it's bikur, to visit. So, the Avudram answers very nicely, and he says, this is referring to learning, but we can extend it to tefillah as well. When we come and daven, the way it works is, you have to be permanent. You want to daven three times a day, you have to do it. But it should be with a bikur attitude. It should be with a refreshed outlook. It should be, I'm coming to visit for the first time today. It's not I've been here already for Achris. I'm now coming to daven a new mincha. And it's renewed again every time over. Shifty is our outlook, but it has to be with an attitude, with a refreshed attitude. Which we have to bear in mind as well, that it's hard. And the Gemara continues and says, Ha'oisa tefilosei kva, ein tefilosei tachanunim. Someone that makes his tefillah permanent, his tefillah is not a plea. The Gemara has three mahalchim and brachas as to what exactly it means, but they're all more or less referring to the same idea that it's tefillah is a burden, I don't want to daven, it's hard for me, but we need to realize that we need to be mechadish, we need to renew something, we need to realize that in every tefillah we have an opportunity, we're standing in front of Hashem, who hears what we have to say, and we need to have something new to ask and realize that we depend on Hashem on those matters. And the Mishnah Berurah is very interesting what he writes here. He brings down kemaso like a burden, pirush. Afal pi she'emra b'loshen tachanunim. Even though you say it in a way of pleading, so you daven with a plea, you beg of Hashem. Im einei mechashev, kemoy she'tzorich davar. If you don't consider yourself like you need something, you're dependent on Hashem. You're coming to ask something from Hashem, so you're just davening with a plea, but you're not considering yourself needy of anything. You're rather davening because I have to daven right now. It's wrong. And you have to be very, very careful with it. And this is the punchline. In case you did, even if you didn't say beloshen tachanunim in a plea, lo yachzer v'yispalel. You don't need to read daven. So there was a havamina that if you didn't daven properly, as in you didn't daven in the way that I'm pleading and I'm asking for Hashem, that you'd have to read daven tefillah again. That's like, wow, you're not realizing your plea, and if it's not tachanunim, there was a havamina, but you've done your mitzvah. But l'chadchila, it should be with a refreshed outlook. So, 2 points. Firstly, we mentioned we need to be aware, that children need to be aware, as well as adults, that there's someone listening at the other end, and that Hashem can say no as an answer and stores that tefillah. And secondly, it needs to be refreshed, and we need to have the right attitude to davening. As in, to get results, we need to have the right attitude with the right outlook onto davening. So, to help us, perhaps, get a more refreshed outlook on our tefillahs ourselves, I would like to discuss tefillahs Shabbos, and get a more of a deeper understanding in the tefillahs we daven on Shabbos. Every Shemoneh Esrei starts the same way. Starts three first brachas, avois, gvuris, and kedushas Hashem. Has the last three brachas, which never change, avoida, hoidoa, and shalom. And then the middle ones change during the week. There's 13 Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's one extra bracha, and a unique Shemana Esra once a year, Rosh Hashanah Musav, has got 9 brachas. But all others are 7, or during the week, 19. And if we look carefully, the only Shemana Esras, which are different, every tefillah, shachris, Musav, Mincha, and Maariv, is the Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. No other Shemoneh Esrei is like it. On Yom Tov, they all start with Atah B'Chatan. During the week, they all start with Atah Chayinin. On Shabbos, every single Shemoneh Esrei starts differently. So I would like to understand what are the Shemoneh Esrei about. So the tour at various places, he goes through explanation of Biur of those tefillahs. He starts off with the Maariv. It says, Atah Kidashta Yom HaShvi. You have sanctified the seventh day. The seventh day, Hashem has made holy. He rested on that day, and it shows that Shmuel created the world, and on the seventh day he stopped, and he sanctified that day for the sake of Klal Yisrael, Friday night, and we, as a response to that, say Vayechulu, and we testify that Hashem indeed created the world and completed the world that way. And that's Friday night. Continues the tour, and he goes into the Shabbos morning, Shmoneh Esrei. He says, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. What's the great Yismach Moshe that Moshe had that we start off with, Yismach Moshe? So the Torah says very nicely, he brings a medrash. The medrash is as follows. Kshehoyu avisein b'mitzrayim, when our forefathers were Mitzrayim and slave, v'roh Moshe kovet hashibot, he saw the heavy enslavement, shechbidu aleihem, they were working very hard, 7 days a week, 365, one day, give them one day, let them rest. And he gave it to him. And Pari said, go ahead, choose. And he chose the seventh day, Shabbos. Later, when Klal Yisrael were commanded to keep Shabbos, he was happy that he chose that day, so that already earlier on, as it were, Klal Yisrael kept Shabbos. So that's the happiness that Moshe had, Yismach Moshe. He continues the Yeshma portion, it's slightly different. Yismach Moshe, there's Gemara and Shabbos, Beitze brings, Lodas, to know, Ki ani Hashem HaKadishchem, I Hashem, I'm sanctifying you. Omalak Shvokhu, Yisrael, Mele Moshe, sorry, Matonotei V'Yishli B'Yit, because I've got a great present in my treasure house, V'Shabbos Shmo. and I want to give it to Kol Yisrael. So I've got this great present, Matnas Chelkoi, and I want to give it to Kol Yisrael. Go and tell them. So Moshe went and told Kol Yisrael, you're going to get Shabbos. So that's the Yismach Moshe with what? The Matnas Chelkoi, with the present that fell into his part, into his portion, which he then passed on to Kol Yisrael. So that's the second tefillah that we daven Shabbos morning. Continue from there, we go to Musaf. Musaf starts off with Tikanta Shabbos, Rav Sisa Korban Yisrael, and it goes in the order of Tashrak, backwards, Tav, Shin, Reish, Kuf, and so on. And there's a remes to the Geula HaAtida, there's a Pasuk, Eshrik Olohem V'Akabtzeim, I will whistle to them, and I will gather them together. Eshrik is backwards, Shin, Reish, Kuf. So it's a hint to the Geula HaAtida in that tefillah. But more than that, it's a beautiful page he brings down, Tikanta Shabbos, you have established Shabbos, Rotzisah Kovansel. Nevertheless, although you were established Shabbos in Islamitas Malachas, you still Rotzisah Kovansel. I still want your Karbonas. That's a great thing, because Karbonas involve lots of Chilul Shabbos. Slaughtering, skinning, all the Chilul Shabbos involve the Karbonas. Yet, Shabbos, yeah, Tikanta Shabbos, though Rotzisah Kovansel, Hakadosh still wanted those Karbonas from his nation. He still wanted the Karbonas from Klal Yisrael, and therefore, even though there were Shabbos, you still can go and bring off, offer up your Karbonas. That's the Tefillah of Musaf. So we had Maariv showing Hakadosh who's creating of the world. Shacharis, the happiness with Shabbos, Yismach Moshe Malchakor, or the happiness that he chose the day Shabbos. And now we've got Musaf, which explains the backwards order showing the Geula HaAtida, the redemption, as well as the fact that Hakadosh still wants our Karbonas. Lastly, Mincha. It's Ato Echot, Vishimcha Echot, Umika Amcho Yisroge Echot Pa'aretz. And the Torah here also explains that it's three are testifying one on the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bnei Yisrael, and Shabbos testify one against against each other. How it works is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael pair up together to be made on the Shabbos, that the Shabbos is a day of rest. So, off, by resting. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu together testify that Shabbos is a day of rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests, we rest, we testify that Shabbos is a Yom Menucha. Yisrael and Shabbos then pair up and made to Hashem that He is Echad. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos pair up to say that Yisrael are Yechidim amongst the nation. And that's why it says Ato Echad, we testify. Shimcha Echad, we come to Yisrael, we Echad Baritz, Hashem testifies with the Shabbos together. And then continues the Yom Menucha that we, Klal Yisrael and Hashem, testify that it's a Yom Menucha. And it's Meduyek in a Gemara in Brochus brings down, the Gemara in Brochus brings down that we say Shema Yisrael, and we wear tefillin, and we have the parshas there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his tefillin as well. And what maksiv, what's written in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? The Gemara says in tefillin, Mi ka'amcho Yisrael go'echo boretz. There's no nation like Klal Yisrael in the world. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's edus in his tefillin about Klal Yisrael being one amongst the nations. So, we have explained the tefillos, Shabbos. We just need to understand now, so they're different tefillos. Why are they different? So each day is different. So the Torah explains that the three tefillos are corresponding three special Shabboses in the year. The Shabbos, the Atakidash Tazir Mashvi, is the one we say Friday night, it's obvious, it's Keneged Shabbos Bereishis. You Hashem created the world, Atta Kiddash Hashem Hashvi, and you've completed the world, it's corresponding Shabbos Bereishis. The next, Tefillah Shachris is Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelkoi, is corresponding, it talks there, how he came down from Sinai, and he got the Torah, so that's corresponding to Shabbos of Matan Torah, because less Mandapolik, there's no argument when the Torah was given, as in Shabbos was the day. The question is the date. But everyone agrees that Shabbos was the Torah was given on Shabbos. So therefore, that tefillah Yismach Moshe, which according to some is explained as that he was happy with the Torah that he got, is referring to the Torah he got from Har Sinai. Hence, the tefillah of Yismach Moshe in Shabbos morning, corresponding to Shabbos of Matan Torah. And lastly, Ato Echad v'Shimcha Echad, that everyone in the world will recognize the Hashem Echad, and there's no second to Hashem, is Shabbos of La'osid Lavoi to Geula HaAtida. As Rabbi Atlas was supposed to speak on the Parsha, and as we're in the spirit of Shabbos a little bit already, I shall say short Dvar Torah. Well, I was going to say a few more, but my wife said I should only say one, so I'll say two. Two nice Dvar Torah on the Sedra, which I would like to share with you. And with that, we'll end off. There is something very interesting. The Rav Aaron Kotler brings the Medrash in this week's Sedra. Yaakov was going to be buried after 70 days of embalmment and crying for him. He was going to be brought down to Moras Amchil to be buried. And his brother Esav comes knocking, and says, I should be buried here. It was a whole back and forth. The Medrash became Chushim Ben Don, who was deaf, didn't know what's going on, took a stick, knocked his head off, and the head rolled into the Moras Amchil, and his body stayed outside. The Aaron Kotler wonders, why was his head zeichet to go into the Moras Amchil? Well, what's the great head of Esav? So Rabbi Kotler explains and says that Esav learned Torah. He was a grandchild of Avraham, the son of Yitzchak, and he learned some Torah. But he learned Torah just because of a mental exercise. It's great, it's good fun. You can learn Torah, it's good, it sharpens your mind, it's fun, it has some good things in it. But he never learned Torah to internalize the messages within Torah. He learned Torah because it was good for my brain, it's a good mental exercise, but nothing to do actually with my body further. I want to stay as much as possible, unaffected as possible, by this learning of Torah. And we know that it's the exact opposite. Torah dictates our life, Torah dominates our lives, and everything we do, and every step we do, from getting up in the morning to going to sleep at night, it's all Torah-dic. There's nothing there which isn't. And if it isn't Torah-dic, then it doesn't have a shaykhus to our life. So therefore the whole thing is, Torah is there for us to be changed, to become a better person. So therefore, he says, his head deserves some reward. So it rolled into the Moras Amchil. His body that stayed so worldly, so gashmi, doesn't have any place in the Moras Amchil, because it didn't change, it didn't affect him at all. So that's to bear in mind that when we learn that it should be lilmoid almanas, that it should change us and not just stay, it's a nice tikkun Torah, and stay unaffected by it. The second thought, unconnected and unrelated, is a beautiful word from the Netziv. The Netziv says in the Sedra that Yaakov called his children Menashe and Ephraim, and then they stood in front of him, Menashe to his right and Ephraim to his left. And then it says, Sikel as Yodov, translated as, he guided his hands cleverly, and he put his right hand onto Ephraim's head, and his left hand onto Menashe's head, and he blessed them like that. And then the Netziv asks a simple question, why don't swap them around? Why don't you swap these places around? Have Menashe stand on your left, and Ephraim on your right, and put your hands straight on them. What is the crossing about, and what's the standing the way they're standing about? So he goes on and explains as follows. We know that Rashi in this week said the rings, Pasuk Aleph and Perik Mentes, Ephraim, Hoyo Rogil Lifne Yaakov B'Talmud. He was the one that was spiritually connected to Yaakov. He was the one that learned with Yaakov. He had a chavrusa shach with Yaakov. He's the one that had the shaykhs with Yaakov in ruchnius. So he was the more ruchni one, the more uplifted and ruchni in those matters. Not to say that he didn't have any gashmis, but he was more on the ruchni side. On the other hand, we know the pasuk says ki hamelitz beinaisom, that the interpreter is amongst them. Who is the interpreter? Rashi points out it's Menashe. Menashe has more qualities of being a leader, a spokesman, a politician, whatever it was, but he is more the gashmi, he's more in worldly matters, not so much with spiritual, as well as spiritual obviously, can't say not spiritual, but more involved in running of the country and what's going on. So, perhaps with this we can also answer another question, Yisimcha lin kefraim chim Menashe, and everyone asks, what do you mean kefraim chim Menashe, why not kavram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Like we bless our daughters with the Imahois, what's Ephraim Menashe? So I hope to answer this as well together with his answer. So we know that there's two qualities here. There's the Menashe quality, which is the quality of Gashmias more, and there's the Ephraim quality, which is the quality of Ruchnias more. And we see this again later in Sefer Bamidbar. In Parshas HaPikudim, Sefer HaPikudim, Bamidbar, starts the count in Bamidbar, first count. That count is the count when Bnei Israel are going into the desert, out of Mitzrayim, into the desert. If you look there at who's counting, who's been counted first, you see that Ephraim is counted before Manasseh. Whereas later on in Parshas Pinchas, 38 years later, when Klal Yisrael are going into Eretz Yisrael, the count has changed and its order has swapped. Manasseh is counted before Ephraim. And it's if they're asked, well, what happened? Why is Ephraim before Manasseh there? And here's something, it's Manasseh before Ephraim. And he explains that when they go into the desert, there's not much need for Gashmias. It's all Hanago Ruchni, man from heaven, be'er, water all over the place, wherever they want. There's not much need to work the land, there's not much need to do things yourself. It's all on a golden platter served for you. So therefore the quality of Ephraim had to be standing out more. When it comes 38 years later, they come about to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. What do you need in Eretz Yisrael? You need to work the ground. You need to start working. You need to start working yourself. So that, at that point, the qualities, the Gashmi qualities, were more needed more. So therefore, at that point, he would be leading, as it were, into Eretz Yisrael, because those qualities were needed more. I'm not saying not the other qualities at all, but more the Gashmi qualities, because now you need to start working. There's no more mandos, no more be'er. You need to actually go and work for it. So therefore, Ephraim and Manasseh stood in that place because Yaakov still wanted Ephraim to be opposite his left side, although he wanted his right hand on him, showing that Torah is the main thing. But still sometimes Torah is a bit, it's sometimes the Ruchni takes over, the Gashmi, sorry, takes over the Ruchni, and you're on the left side, you're not the main one, like we see when they're going to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, Manasseh sometimes quality, the Gashmi quality, needed to be strong as well, needed the right hand or the right side of his body. And therefore he kept them the way they are. Because sometimes the right hand needed more, and sometimes the right side of the body needed more. And therefore he kept them the way they are. So with that we can explain, Simcha Elokim Kefraim Shem Manasseh. We bless our children. You've got an option to be Gashmi, or you've got an option to be Ruchni. Either way, got two great Talmidei Chachamim, two people that became Shevatim, Manasseh and Ephraim. So if you have Netiyos, you are more inclined to Gashmi, Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim v'chi Manasseh. Let him be Matzliach like Manasseh was Matzliach with his Gashmi side. Great Matzliach, he was a Shevet, he became informed the whole Shevet. On the other hand, another child might be more inclined to be more Ruchni perhaps. And then again, I'm blessing the Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim. Let this child be, turning out, be Matzliach like an Ephraim. Let him be like the Ephraim amongst Klal Yisrael. So with that in mind, we bless our children. Perhaps his qualities are more Gashmi, so let him be Matzliach like Manasseh. Perhaps his qualities are more like Ephraim, so let him be Taka Matzliach like Ephraim. Therefore we bless them specifically with the opposite qualities of Gashmi and Ruchnias, that whatever qualities he's got, he should take out. Hoping that you have uplifting Shabbos and enjoying it. Yeah. Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos.